Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you for anointing this study to bless the people. And also, Lord, to please bring all things to their remembrance in the days ahead so they can cooperate with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to call this Bride Sanctified for the Marriage Feast. And let me begin by saying that the man-child and the bride have been going through the sanctification process and overcoming in their personal trials to be ready in time for the anointing of the man-child. They have passed the love tests, been cleansed and sanctified, becoming stronger in faith, in unity with one another, and proven to be faithful and obedient. I believe that the end of these tests and trials is coming, and that the Lord is coming with His reward, and will reveal His chosen bride to those who have eyes to see. But also, the same trials that came to the bride will then come to the church in the tribulation. And then these revelations that we're going to share with you today from 2011 will be very, very important. So I'm going to call this first revelation, Cleansing the Bride for the Feast. A faithful pastor friend for many years called me and asked my advice. He said he was being slandered behind his back by some people in order to separate disciples. And I shared with him that this was happening all over the world, according to many witnesses who have come to us. And I told him that we had been told several years ago that an army of demons would come to try to destroy me and UBM. And I shared what the Lord told us, that His purpose was to separate people from us because they were leavened and were polluting His bride, who must now be pure to celebrate the wedding feast for the last 7 years. And I said Esther was separated from the virgins in the house of the women to go to the king's house before the 7 year reign of the beast represented by Haman. And we received revelations that I want to share with you to help us understand this. And this was just after the first faction in 2011, what the Lord showed us about the purpose of this and its coming to the church. Okay. Now we call this one Sons of Perdition Attack the Saints. This was given to Ellie McBride on 10/5/2011. In a dream, I was at home visiting with Cynthia Marks. In the natural, Cynthia is one of my co-workers, and she ordered something and was having it delivered to our house for some reason. And after she left, I discovered that she had left something behind. So I called her on the phone to let her know. Well, it seems that Cynthia represents the sons of perdition in whom the false Jesus Apollo lives. In ancient times, Cynthia was a cultic title of the great god Apollo. Cynthia means from Mount Kynthos, which is a Delos island, on Delos Island, and on which Apollo was supposed to have been born. Webster's dictionary says that Apollyon used to be a common variant of Apollo until recently, and many scholars identify Apollyon as the Greek god Apollo, the god of death. Apollyon's mountain, Kynthos, or Cynthia, represents his kingdom of those who are destroyed, which in Greek is apolia, the word for destroyed. Okay. So this is what the word says also. Apollyon is the king of the abyss and those in it. Revelation 9:11. They have over them as king the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon. And in Greek, he hath the name Apollyon, meaning destroyer. His kingdom is over those he destroys. In 1 Thessalonians 2:3, it says, "Let no man beguile you in any wise, for it will not be, except the falling away come first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition," which in Greek is apolia. All of it's related, right? As you could say, the son of destruction, right? Those who are spiritually destroyed. So Revelation 17:8 says the beast, which, by the way, is in spirit a corporate entity of demons ruling over flesh. That's what the beast is. So the beast that thou sawest was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go into perdition, which is apolia, destruction. The demons entered into a corporate body of the sons of perdition to destroy them, and they are brought into the abyss. Okay. In Judges chapter 10, "But these rail at whatsoever things they know not, and what they understand naturally, like the creatures without reason, in these things are they destroyed." That's Jude chapter 10. In 2 Peter 2:12, we're told, "But these, as creatures without reason, born mere animals to be taken and destroyed," there's the word, "railing in matters whereof they are ignorant, shall in their destroying be surely be destroyed." So railing in Greek is blasphemio, which means to speak evil or slander. Dear friends, let no one beguile you. Don't let the sons of perdition, these modern day Judases, deliver anything to your house or leave anything behind, as this dream warns us. In the natural, and just like this dream, these people visited Ellie to leave some slander behind, but she refused it, because she had seen a vision of several of them spiritually dead. Others, we are hoping, will repent and come out from among them. Okay. So back to the revelation. Cynthia's mother came to our house on a different day while they delivered the item Cynthia had ordered. Well, my note was the harlot is the mother of the corporate body of the sons of perdition. And back to the revelation. It turned out to be a very large blue stuffed animal. It looked like it might be a dog. Well, a stuffed dog is an unclean beast with no heart or mind of the spirit, right? It is blue because they want to present this life of theirs as a heavenly life, but it is born of destruction. What they want to give to the saints is a traitorous life of self-will, ego, rejection, faction, slander, unforgiveness, hatred, retaliation, and lusts of all kinds. The church is about to learn this of them in this coming tribulation. It had a very long body with long floppy ears. These people cannot stand or walk in the kingdom. I wondered why she ordered that and thought that maybe it was a present for her granddaughter named Promise. Well, the children of the Promise will not receive from the Son of Perdition. It just won't happen. None of the disciples followed Judas, who was the Son of Perdition. So Cynthia's mother said she would take it and deliver it to Cynthia. I told her it was okay and that Cynthia was to come over to pick it up and was also to pick up the other item that she left behind. In other words, get that garbage out of my house. Since Cynthia and her mother don't get along that well, I was not comfortable with allowing her to take the items. So just as Judas, the son of perdition, and the Sanhedrin, the head of the harlot, didn't get along, but they did business in order to crucify the body of Christ. After Cynthia's mother left, I learned of some sort of attack going on. Well, any time the sons of perdition leave anything at your house, it's an attack on you. They tried to do this with Ellie in the natural, but she refused it. And Ellie goes on, I no longer remember how I learned of it. I might have looked outside and seen it after hearing some shots. Well, that reminded me of Psalm 11 and 2, which says, For lo, the wicked bend the bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. Back to Ellie here. I saw some people with weapons shooting round balls or pellets of various sizes, but never any bigger than a baseball, and when these pellets hit their target, they would burst and splash blood all over their target. Well, Leviticus 17:11 says, For the life of the flesh is in the blood. You know, these people's blood, they want to spread around. Their life is in it. If you sit and listen to them, that life enters into you. Life here is the soul or nature. And shooting represents speaking slanderous accusation against someone, which puts their evil nature in those who receive their words. So when we do not warn the wicked, rather than be partakers of their sin, their blood or nature is upon us. Titus 3 and 10 and 11. A factious man, after a first and second admonition, refuse, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. And also Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship, which means giving and receiving, right, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. For the things which are done by them in secret, it is a shame even to speak of. So we're warned not to eat the unclean beasts, which was revealed to Peter in Acts chapter 10 to be speaking of partaking of the nature of unclean people. He got the revelation of it. And she went on to say, I became curious about this and desired to understand why it was happening and why the blood, I believe the projectiles are our people, she says, being sent out to target certain brethren, and if they are able to hit them or to have an effect on them, the victims become contaminated with their blood or nature. Yep, I agree. And that's through the evil spirits that are in those words that are being spoken. It'd be like you sitting and listening to the devil and believing what he says, right? You know what happens then. She said, I watched for a while. In the meantime, Cynthia came to our house to pick up her things and then tried to leave. But when she stepped out the front door, there was a bad storm raging. She went back into our house to wait out the storm. Well, the sons of perdition have no faith because of their sinful life, but they also know that the house of the righteous is the only safe place from the storms. So they decide to stick around for fear, but not for long. While I was still busy studying this private war, the people were not attacking everyone, only members of a certain group. Well, as Judas did to Jesus, they attack mostly the David heads of the bride, but to a lesser extent the bride, because they cannot be a member of that body, which is so contrary to their nature. And Psalm 15 and 1 says, the Lord who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle, who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Well, the answer is Jerusalem, the bride, as in Revelation 21 and 9 and 10. He that slandereth not with his tongue, who can be in the bride? He that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friend, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. So, Ellie said, by watching, I learned that the attacker's projectile weapons had a limited reach. Once I figured that out, I stepped outside where it was happening and stood just out of the reach of the projectiles, where I could face them and watch them safely without being hit. This is so true. And she puts a note here, I have been able to observe the war on the righteous from a safe distance without being affected. Well, and two, if you get too close to these people, they feel a real unction to go and slander to your ear. So the best thing to do is totally avoid them, as the Bible clearly says. And the Lord is saying, do not come in contact in any way with these people, lest they put something of their evil nature in your house. So, Ellie said, I stood there and watched as they fired at different targets and watched as blood would cover the targets. In other words, defiling those who do not separate from them, meaning sanctifying themselves from them and their actions. I saw a pellet that had not burst and picked it up to study it. I stood there for a long time observing when I heard my telephone ringing. I heard the phone number being called out, and I recognized it as Annie's phone number. In real life, I had attempted to contact her by phone on 10-4-11, but got the recorder and was only able to leave a message. Well, Annie means blessed with grace. Blessed with grace. So in the dream, I believed she was returning my call. I apologized to her for taking so long to answer the phone. I informed her of the attack that was observing that I was observing to take place. Well, those who are blessed with grace will receive the warning to avoid the factious people, which is clear all through the scriptures. And after talking to Annie, I received another call, and this time from a man who was calling to check on me for some reason. I believe this might have been David. Well, I did this in real life, and she informed me of an attack there. So, she went on to say, I informed him of the attack I was observing, as well as let him know that I had in my possession one of their pellets, and I told him I intended to study it. I was very curious as to why they were attacking, and I was desirous to understand their weapons. Well, Ellie is being used to show what not to do here. Studying their weapons of slander is contrary to the commands and very dangerous. Curiosity has caused some to be infected with their slander and faction spirits. People find it hard to believe that Christians can lie like these do, and are tempted to believe them, and this curiosity could lead to something worse, as in the next scene. So Ellie said, the scene changed, and I was in the shower with the water running. I did not notice right away, but I soon saw that it was not water coming out of the shower head, but blood. I quickly stepped back and thought it was gross that I had this blood on me. I called out to those in the house to caution them that somehow the attackers had managed to contaminate the water with their blood, which just represents their nature, right? Well, examining what they have to say is the same thing as standing before them and listening to them. It has the same effect. It will take you out. Slander, these demons will keep pecking at your mind constantly until you think, well, maybe that's true. And then once that suspicion comes, then the demons of faction and witchcraft come. This, we've watched it enough to know. So she said somehow the attackers had managed to contaminate the water, which is the Word of God, with their blood. And I wondered to myself how they managed to do this. Well, examining their words and thoughts is receiving a seed of demons and will bring a flood, a shower of temptation to overcome those who do not obey. Proverbs 8 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I let the water run until it was clear water again, and no longer blood, and I was then able to bathe. I believe this is referring to them misusing the word to persuade their targets into seeing things their way. Brethren should beware that if they are continuing to fellowship with some of these attackers, that they are using the word in such a way as to bring confusion and doubt. Well, the Lord spoke this verse to me concerning this dream, Isaiah 4 and 3. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy. Well, this is exactly the situation we saw and understood that God was doing. He was sanctifying the righteous from the wicked, right? So the ones that are left shall be called holy. Even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of justice and by the spirit of burning. So, and here's another revelation that we called separating goats from sheep. B.A. gave this in 2011. And she said, at 4:30 a.m. this morning, I had a vision. It was dark, but in the darkness, I saw a house. The house was shining very brightly on the right side. It appeared to be glowing, and I saw people gathered in a circle. They were very tall, and they seemed at peace. They were praying and singing praises to the Lord. Well, this is the UBM house, and on a larger type, the house of God. And they were on the right side because they were sheep, which Jesus put on his right. And that side was shining brightly because the glory of God was there. They were tall because they were big and mature in the ways of the Lord. Back to the revelation. She said, I saw how the left side of the house was very dark, and smoke was coming out of the walls. The people looked like dwarves. They were angry and agitated, and they kept pacing back and forth. Well, those on the left, of course, are the ones who act as goats, which Jesus put on his left. It was very dark because they were walking in darkness. And smoke is coming out of the walls because the judgment of God is upon it. And they were dwarves because they had been stunted in their growth and were small and immature in the ways of the Lord. They were angry and agitated because they were full of faction, anger, slander, criticism, wrath, etc. And they're pacing back and forth because they are nervous and stirred up by these demon spirits. So she said, there was a door that separated the two sides of the house. There were no handles on either side of this door. Well, God has made a separation between the righteous and the wicked. They may not get at the truly righteous who obey his word to separate from them, and we may not minister to them, for God has given them over to this reprobation. The people on the left were angry because they could not figure out how to get this door open to get into the other side and at the righteous people. Well, the goats have been bitter and angry trying to get at the righteous with their slander. They wanted to stop those people from singing and praising the Lord, she said. Well, the demons hate peace and they hate praise among the righteous. They hate to hear it. She said there was a crack about three-quarters of the way down through the center of the house. It looked like at any time the house would split apart. Well, this is the spiritual earthquake that we have seen that at that time was bringing separation of the wicked from the refuge and the bride. This separation will soon be physical. And of course it was. And they will leave our house as a purified house. And they did. Okay. The Lord said to me as I meditated on this that his foot was pushing down on the left side of the house. It looks like possibly there is a quarter of the way left to go, but as the weight of their sin becomes greater, they will break off. And they did. Well, Father has been showing us for several years through dreams and visions and prophecies that an army of demons would make war with UBM and myself in an attempt to destroy us. But at the same time, we were shown we would become greater in holiness, power, and ministry. And, you know, an update on this day is that this has been happening since 2011 for sure. We can tell the difference. In fact, we can tell the difference in the atmosphere when a person like that who has that corrupt nature leaves. We immediately feel the difference. Everybody notices it. So she went on to say, I noticed that the right side of the house was firmly on the foundation, whereas the left side of the house had no ground beneath it. And I thought to myself, if that house splits all the way, the left side is going to fall and there's nothing to catch it. Well, we were told by the factious that they would leave peaceably, but they lied because they had an eye on carving up UBM from the cover of darkness. God also had his plan to separate those who could give in to these lusts, and so he has. And we pray constantly for our brethren that they would come to repentance. And we know that a few ultimately will, some who were just deceived and really didn't have that nature. So, there was a falling away of that part of the house. It was a falling away. So, we call this one given to the same person, the Lamp of God. This was in 2011. This first vision, let me say about it, is in Matthew 5 and 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under the bushel, but on the stand, and it shineth unto all that are in the house. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And she gave this verse, Psalm 119:105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you stay, keep your eyes on the word, it will lead you rightly, right? It will show you where to stand and show you where to go. She said, I had a vision of a large green wicker floor lamp, and as I looked at this lamp, I was drawn to it. So I went over and touched it, and when I touched the lamp, it suddenly sprang open and revealed a refrigerator on the inside. This lamp appeared to be breathing, like the breath of the Holy Spirit in the lamp of the saints, right? I believe this refrigerator in a lamp represents the Word of God in the saints. The fact that it was made of wicker or wood and green, the color of life, represents the true people of God. The lamp revealing its inner self as a refrigerator is showing us the hidden manna in God's people. And also, a refrigerator preserves food, the spiritual food of the Word of God stored within our hearts is, I think, what's being implied here. And it's preserved for future preparation when needed. God brings these things to our remembrance, right? The warnings that he gives us, he brings to our remembrance, so on and so forth. And only God's true people are this lamp and have this refrigerator. She went on to say, the Lord is showing me that he is using faction to strengthen his body. The Lord is drawing his body together to feast on his word and to pray in unity to combat this evil attack, which is, of course, coming to make division. So we are being prepared as spiritual warriors. The Lord is pleased to see his David being defended and lifted up by the true body of Christ. These factious spirits will not be able to penetrate the hedge of protection that the Lord has placed around his David and the true body at UBM. The Holy Spirit is telling me to tell the body to wait on and to trust in the Lord. And she gave Psalm 37 and 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Okay, and this one, this is the second vision here, which we called Preparation for the Bride. I saw the body of UBM dressed up like brides. Some of the brides were in the kitchen preparing a large meal, in other words, to feast on the Word of God. The wedding feast, I believe, is what's being spoken about here of the last 7 years. The bride is being prepared for the wedding feast of the last 7 years. Some were setting tables, in other words, preparation for the feast. Others sweeping the floor, she said, purging out the leaven and washing windows. I think that probably represents clearing our perception and discernment. She went on to say, this vision is very encouraging. Everyone seemed to know their gifts and were going about their tasks with joy and love. The righteous are preparing spiritually for their role as the bride. True. Very true. So here's another revelation that came in 2012, Bride to be Separated. And this was given from MC. In my dream, I was in a very large building along with many thousands of people who were slowly milling around. There was white lighting overhead that appeared to be fluorescent. And facing ahead of me, the building seemed to be open with no wall. Most of the people in the building were to my left, and there was a wall to my right. Our position in the building was critical. I knew I needed to be praying, especially in tongues, for the people in this room, particularly the people whom I knew. It was urgent that I pray that they would be in the right position, because obviously he was going to separate the two, right? And he puts a note here that in this dream, every time I was impressed by the importance of prayer, a priority was placed on praying in tongues. Well, when you don't know what to pray, that's a good way to do it, right? The Holy Spirit knows, right? And let me say that the Spirit knows who the bride is and what those left behind needed in order to go with the bride who follows the man-child as it was in Jesus' day. It's a repeat of history, right? So we were running out of time. He said, well, at this time, people must choose to be obedient by being in the process of putting on the lampros garment. That's the Greek word lampros, the shining garment of the bride, which is their righteous acts, according to Scripture. And those who are content to walk in the leukos garment, which is just a white garment, are not yet ready to escape greater tribulation, which is needed for sanctification. So I'll quote the verse here to you, Revelation 19 and 7 and 8. It says, "Let us rejoice and be exceedingly glad, and let us give the glory unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright," that's the word lampros, in other words, shining, "and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." And saints, of course, means the sanctified ones. So he said, suddenly those on the right side of the building started moving out of the building straight ahead through the opening. It was a come-outer kind of thing, you know. "We were accelerating very quickly, and as I glanced to my left, I noticed that there was a distinct line forming between the people who were still standing motionless and the people who were being moved out. In fact, the people who were left were lined up perfectly at the very edge of the line, and the group left behind were all facing us. We hadn't known where that line was before." Well, let me say that there will be a distinction between the bride and the rest of the church at the beginning of the marriage feast of 7 days / years of the tribulation. Well, the 70th week of Daniel is the tribulation, and it was each day was a year, right? So, is this separation geographical? No, it's spiritual. It is authority, dominion, holiness, anointing, and so on. He said, "I realized we were out of time to pray for people to be in the group that was leaving." Yeah, that's true. Because the bride was chosen to follow the man-child reformer body as it was with Jesus. "I was very anxious for the people who were being left behind. I desperately tried to scan the faces of people right at the demarcation of the line, since there was a space between us now, but we were moving out so fast that I couldn't seem to recognize anyone. It was terrible. Behind the people remaining to the left, the light seemed to be fading. It got darker and darker the further to the left one went. They are going into darkness of tribulation for sanctification, and some will be totally lost. So there were many thousands of people left behind whom I could see, and almost infinite number of people behind them were off in the darkness. I didn't recognize anyone in the dream. The separation was terrible and very sudden, with no announcement. Once we started being moved out of the building, I couldn't seem to do anything by praying as to who was on which side." Well, you know, the bride is chosen to be the bride at the beginning of her own marriage feast with the groom. And before that, of course, from the foundation of the world, they were chosen. But the manifestation of the choosing is what is being spoken of. He went on to say, "At first, I was very upset about the people being left behind, and then I thought to myself that I needed to stop worrying and start praising God and thanking him for what he was doing, and to leave the people whom we left behind in his hands." Well, let me say that some of these people will be lost as one-third of the stars of Abraham's seed fall from their heavenly place in Christ to the earth to be trampled under the feet of the beast, as the Word of God says. And some of these people will overcome to walk in purity and holiness through the crucifixion of the tribulation. I somehow felt that I could still pray for them, but the priority for that prayer was now on the back burner. Now I needed to concentrate on what was ahead of us that we were all moving towards. So, those chosen will recognize the new leadership of the man-child as they did in Jesus' time. In John 3:29, it says, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." So Jesus, the first fruits unto Jesus was the bride, and he was the bridegroom. So as in the book of Esther, she is taken into the king's house at the beginning of the people of God's tribulation. But she is also to use her position to save them. The Philadelphia Church of Brotherly Love escaped the hour of trial because they had already been through many trials and became beautiful to their Lord. As we were being moved out of the building, our speed got faster and faster as we flew into the darkness. There was a strong wind blowing in the same direction as we were flying. I would say that's the wind of the Spirit, right? I felt that it was really important to pray, especially in tongues. Eventually, we started coming down to the ground here and there in the darkness. And when I came down, I noticed there weren't very many others around, and we were all separated. There seemed to be a high metal roof overhead, like you might see over a large train station, with an occasional light here and there. We were still moving, but now we needed to adjust to our new situation. There were white envelopes. The shape looked like a number 10, but their size was slightly larger, with white paper inside with instructions and encouragement for us that came flying past us in the wind. The wind of the Spirit, right? Directions coming from the Spirit of God. But they were blowing parallel to the direction that we were going. They weren't fluttering around. These letters sailing by were kind of a cool phenomenon. We, the wind, and the letters were all going in the same direction. I think we had to collect them. Some were in tongues. We needed to get together, adjust to our new environment as we kept moving, read what was in these envelopes to find out who to do next and start working as a group. What to do next. So the bride will learn to work as a true body of Christ by the individual messages of the Holy Spirit. We also had much praying to do, especially in tongues. My takeaway from this dream at the time of this writing is that I need to be praying for people to be in this group that leaves. Praying made a difference in this dream. I had regrets when the separation happened in the dream. I don't want to have any regrets when this really happens. The first time I opened my Bible, the morning I dreamed this, it opened not to a Bible verse, but to the Bible Study Helps section entitled, "This Bible is Your Hand." I opened to chapter 9, "Sooner Than You Think," quote, unquote. All right, so praying for the people so they won't be left behind seems to be important in that revelation. And that was back in 2011. Here's another one that we received in 2011. And this was all because of this is where the faction started to separate these people from us. Okay. So cleansing for the marriage feast. That's what we call this one. CP 2011. I received this dream from the Lord, which I believe is a warning about preparing for the marriage feast. I feel it's important to share this because it relates to keeping your house filled with Christ. Our physical bodies serve no purpose except to house Christ, and if we're not serving Him, then we are serving other gods. Which, of course, 1 Corinthians 10 and 20 says are actually demons, these other gods, right? I dreamed we were at our home and my husband was on his way out. I somehow knew I'd be joining him later. I left the door open and the next minute my mother was at the front gate and just walked in, uninvited guest. She went straight to the guest room and told me she'd be staying with us from now on. Well, I think my mother represents unclean spirits of anger, rejection, unforgiveness, condemnation, as well as being the apostate church. Also, if we do not guard our gates, being the mouth, ears, and mind, all right, we can expect the spirits we cast out to try to come back and to make a home out of us. True. We read this in Matthew 12 and 45, and then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becometh worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this evil generation. I protested and told her that she could not do so. She said that I had prepared a room for her and that she was now staying with us. Well, whatever place in our hearts the husband Jesus vacates, it is prepared for other spirits to return. So the moral of the story, of course, is stay full of Jesus. Don't give him any room, right? Don't meditate on other things. I was very uneasy about this because I knew my husband would not be happy about this. This is the fight between our flesh and our spirit. We know what the spirit requires of us, and we need to keep our spiritual house clean and abiding in Christ. You don't want the old apostate church to move back in, right? However, I acquiesced to her demand. Just then, my younger sister also walked into the house. She represents the immature Christians who are easily swayed by the older, fallen away church. They both sat at the dining room table, and I thought of feeding them, but never put any food in front of them to eat. And she has a note here, these spirits and demons need to be fed, but it's our choice whether we'll add fuel to their demands to make us fall away from the promises of God. Yes. They immediately started bad-mouthing my marriage to my husband, who represented Jesus, right? So the true gospel and the true bride are a threat and an insult to the apostate church because it preaches salvation instead of bondage. They told me it was unnatural to be that close to him. They do. Actually, they don't think you should be that close to Jesus. And that he had changed me, praise be to God, They did not even recognize me anymore. Well, Jesus changes us to the extent that these spirits of apostasy are not at peace in us or in others concerning us. The true bride will not be recognized in the tribulation because people will not want to accept the truth. My sister was particularly loose with her mouth, and after a while I calmly said to her that it was unfair to talk about my husband that way because he had helped her so many times and was very loyal to her. Well, the Lord has been loyal to the apostates, but they do not return that love through obedience. I told her that if she had nothing good to say, she should leave. She got up to leave, but just before doing so, she and my mother asked me to prove my love for my husband. Well, the saints will surely be tested, won't they? I said, surely I would do that. They told me to go out the back door, in other words, going in the past, of my house and take a shower in the street. Well, we know that nakedness represents sin, and washing in front of others represents confessing our sins so that God will cleanse us, because that's what he says, right? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And also James 5:16. Confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. So notice that you are to confess most sins to a righteous person who has faith so they can pray for you, right? And others are not trustworthy but gossipers. Sins against an individual most of the time should be confessed to them so that they will forgive you too, right? So that's important. However, if they do not know about the problem or the sin, it may cause them to stumble. So you have to use wisdom. And sometimes God would have you confess publicly so others will fear God and recognize evil. Well, the scene changed, and I was in the middle of Oxford Street in London at night. That's Europe's busiest and densest shopping street, which represents Babylonish buying and selling that the church does in darkness, right? We're supposed to be giving and receiving, not buying and selling, right? I took a shower in a transparent cubicle on the left sidewalk of the street. Well, literal and physical nakedness is not permitted scripturally. Only spiritual nakedness can be seen as good, in that we should not have any hidden sins. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his transgressions shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall obtain mercy. Very important for all those who are in the running for the bride, right? Psalm 32:3. When I kept silence, my bones wasted away. That's where your blood comes from. That's where your life comes from, right? Through my groaning all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture was changed as with the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity did I not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. So we see two places that we, in the guidance of the Lord, would confess. To somebody that we've wronged, maybe, and also to the Lord, or to others around us, you know, so that they can help us, you know, and pray for us, right? Verse 6, For this let everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Oh, so there's a certain time you have, right? And surely when the great waters overflow, they shall not reach unto him. Oh, yes, you have to do it before then. And also we should reveal sin as sin so that the world will know that we agree with holiness, right? And he went on, but we will also be protected, as in the cubicle. The world will see us, but not be able to touch us. I noticed that there was a group of well-dressed, suited men walking out of a restaurant together with a pretty lady. Well, I think those who want to look good to the world but not to God may be symbolized here, who had dark hair, which represents submission to darkness, and wearing a red dress. Sin is described as red in Isaiah 1 and 18. We see here that the harlot spirit of apostate Christianity is being implied, I believe. I felt so vulnerable being naked in the shower, but I had never been more clean. My skin glistened. Confessing our sin makes us vulnerable to others, but we are cleansed. The woman seemed to get very angry with me for showering in public, and she came over to me and wanted to spray me with whipped cream, the perversion and sweetening of milk, symbolizing the sweetening of the truth to make it acceptable to more people. I kept ducking and diving out of her aim, and she said, "Don't try to pretend to be different. You've done exactly the same as me." To that I replied, "No, I have not. I have never defiled anyone," quote unquote. She walked away, and I managed to get back into my house. Well, we do not defile others when we are not hiding any sin, and when we confess what we have done as wrong, you know. And then I was trying to get ready for a banquet. I believe this is the marriage feast of the 7 days of the tribulation. My mother was still there, shouting insults at me and about my husband and all the time. And I asked her to help me to get ready for the banquet, but she did not. Well, the nature and spirits of apostasy will not prepare one to be in the bride or even to attend the feast. Sometimes we are so used to our demons and spirits that we think they are part of our nature, and try to use our own characteristics to prepare for trials. We need to be mindful that everything that we exhibit that is not of God and does not liken us to Jesus needs to be cast down and told to depart from us. We cannot be slaves to two masters. Amen. Instead, every time I put on a white garment, she either wet it or soiled it. Well, when apostasy is in our hearts, our life and actions manifest spots and blemishes on our spiritual garment. I was getting a little frustrated with her and told her she must leave. I told her I needed my garment ready for when my husband came to take me to the banquet. Revelation 19 and 7. Let us rejoice and be exceedingly glad, and let us give the glory unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure, For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they that are bidden to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are true words of God. She said she could not leave because I'd left the door open for her and had a room for her. Well, that's a problem. Don't fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, right? I then told her that I no longer had a guest room and that the room she was trying to inhabit belonged to my eight-month-old baby. Eight-month-old. That sounds like the fruit of Jesus, whose number in gematria is 888. The salvation and manifestation of Christ in us takes time, and it's through faith that it can grow. She got angry and tested this, but could not go into the room. Once Jesus is large enough in us, there will be no space for the spirits and demons. And once the saints have grown in faith, there will be no place for the apostate church. Eventually, that's where fellowship is not appropriate. You give out to the apostate church, but you do not receive from the apostate church, spiritually speaking, right? Eventually, I managed to get my white garment on, and she left, and I waited for my husband. Well, after rejecting apostasy, it had to leave, and the garment was pure for the groom. And Revelation 15:4, Who shall not fear, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy, for all the nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy righteous acts have been made manifest. Amen. Well, thank you. I pray that this helps those that come in the coming days and are tempted with the same kind of spirits through sons of perdition, and that this will help them to overcome. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, God bless you all. We'll do this again sometime. Bye-bye.